The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. 14-6 and a date with the Knicks. That's the state of play as the Bucks head into the first full week of December. 20 games of this new NBA season already in the books. The Bucks at 14-6, just a game and a half back in the East. But all eyes are on the in-season tournament, the new wrinkle put in place by the league. There's a trophy involved, there's a boatload of cash involved, and if the Bucks beat the Knicks on Tuesday night, they'll earn a ticket to ride to Vegas. Tonight, we'll unpack it all with one of the good guys, the leader of the bench mob, Pat Connaughton, a player who's been, over the years, a real difference maker for the Bucks. Pat, welcome to Courtside again. Always fun to visit with you.
Appreciate you having me, Gale. Looking forward to it.
Well, Pat, first things first. You injured your ankle driving for a layup, if I recall, against the Heat in Miami last week. How's your recovery coming, and when do you think we might see you back on the court?
Oh, not soon enough, Gale. But recovery's coming great. It was unfortunate timing. Stepped on Bam's foot as I was trying to jump, so put a little bit more pressure through it at the wrong time while I was in a vulnerable position. But overall, the recovery is coming great. It's not dissimilar to an injury I had at the end of last year that took me 2 to 3 weeks to get back from.
And Pat, you actually made a circus shot as you were falling away. Did you see it go in?
I did not see it go in, to be honest with you. But when I found out I made it, it definitely made the pain a little bit easier to bear. I can guarantee you that.
I can imagine. Well, as we pointed out earlier, the Bucks have racked up 14 wins in the early going this season. Many of those wins have been down-to-the-wire heart pounders. Pat, what's your take on the performance of the team at this point?
I'm really happy with, the resiliency that we've shown. And when we're put ourselves and get into these tight game situations, it's always good to have some game pressure on you during the course of the season, I think. Maybe our fans would like us to win by a little bit more. It might be better for people's health and, heart rates. But it's really good to obviously learn and put ourselves in pressure situations early on so that, we get accustomed to it, because that's a lot of times what playoff basketball is. And I think to get, 12, 13 wins during the course of this and really learn while still being able to win games, as we're getting our feet under us, as Damon Giannis's chemistry is growing, as Coach Griff's getting his feet under him and continuing to implement all the things he wants to do offensively and defensively, it's something that's been fun to watch.
Well, Pat, with the big blockbuster trade that brought Damian Lillard to the Bucks, the team now has literally two of the best players of all time in the starting lineup. From your perspective, how are Dame and Giannis gelling? And what should fans look for as these two superstars learn to play off each other?
I've been fortunate. I played with Dame for 3 years at the beginning of my career, and then Giannis for the last six, and now both of them for this first one. And this is the way that they complement each other, not just in their, basketball skill and on court. Obviously, Dame being able to shoot and attack the rim, Giannis being able to attack the rim and defend, and, all the different things that each of them can do on the floor. But their demeanor, their personality, their mindset, their competitive nature, the things that, they thoroughly enjoy, their families winning and playing basketball games and doing what they can do to help make their teammates better, staying calm and cool under pressure. They have a lot of similarities in that side of things that I don't think, the average fan gets to see as much as obviously we get to see on a daily basis. So it's really cool to see them play alongside one another. It's really cool to see them complement one another, and that's really cool to see the similarities that they bring.
And Pat, we were fortunate to sit down with Dame a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned that you were a big part of the conversations that intrigued him about the possibility of becoming a Buck. Tell us about that exchange, if you will.
I'm fortunate to be around great guys, right? So, you know, Dame's one of those, and he was one of those. He was my vet as a rookie, first, second year, third year guy, really learning from someone like himself. And it's not just, you know, the teammate bond, but, you know, he's a true friend. He's a guy that, you know, I can call up about anything. He's obviously been in the league for 12, 13 years now. So for him and to learn from the things that he's seen and, you know, just, you know, have a personal relationship with him and be able to pick his brain. And then the same with Giannis. You know, Giannis and I talk about things far beyond just basketball. You know, it's business, philanthropy, family, you know, what you like doing in the offseason, different things. Go over to see him in Greece, watch obviously the premiere of his movie a couple of years back over in Greece. It's just, it's cool to become friends with these guys that I know a lot of people look up to because of their basketball abilities, but it's really their, you know, how they care for one another, how they care for their teammates, how they care for their families, who they are as people is what I'm fortunate to be able to see. And so just knowing both of them, it's something that, you know, I thought would be really cool. It'd be really cool for them to be able to play together, something that I know they both want to win at the highest level. And I know, fortunately for us, Giannis has been able to help us do that for the last 5 years. But, you know, for Dame, we always wanted him to win at the highest level as well. And I just said to him, hey, the one rule is no matter where we go, I better be a part of that.
You got a great definition of cool with Dame and Giannis on the same team with you. And, Pat, speaking of change, we've got a new head coach, Adrian Griffin, patrolling the sidelines for the Bucks this season. Your thoughts on Coach Griff's approach to the game and the type of adjustments that you and the other veterans are being asked to make?
You know, I think Griff's got a great feel for the game of basketball. Obviously, being a past player, being a guy that played along guys like, you know, Dirk and Michael Finley and different guys that obviously helped him, you know, have a 8-year career as an undrafted guy, and to see that perspective and then to see the perspective of different head coaches throughout, you know, his coaching career. It's been really cool to learn from him, and really, you know, cool the way that he's able to, you know, have respect from each and every single guy because of not just his past experiences, but also because of the way he carries himself as a coach. And I think, you know, he's done a great job trying to continue to push us to be better in a bunch of different areas, and being able to relate to us as a past player has really taken that, you know, respect even up a notch.
And Pat, in the past, as a top assistant, Coach Griffin was thought to be a defensive specialist. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that anytime a new coach, I feel like, comes into a situation and he wants to imprint the things that he's looking forward to doing, whether it's offensively or defensively, but in this case, defensively. And we have a lot of guys who have been here for 3, 4, 5 years. It's going to take some time, right? But I think we started to show over the last 10 games flashes of what that defensive strategy that he has can do, and how we're able to utilize our length and switching and start to create some turnovers that can lead to easy baskets, and really try to make it hard on what the other team wants to accomplish. And I think that's where, you know, the focus has often been, you know your personnel, KYP, know individuals on the other team and what they want to do, try to make sure that we're able to, you know, limit those and make them go to their second, third, fourth options, but then also know what they want to do as a team. No teams, you know, want to get corner three-pointers. No teams want to get to the rim. And how do you try to prevent some of those things more often than not to put ourselves in a better position to win games?
More with Pat Connaughton in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks guard Pat Connaughton.
Pat, we'll talk for a moment about defense. And over the past 5 years, as you well know, the Bucks have been an elite team defensively. This season, as we discussed, the defense right now more of a work in progress. But the stats at crunch time, Pat, the defense seems to be coming alive.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, defense wins championships. I know everyone says it. In the NBA, offense is something that also helps. But I think we're continuing to try to grow on the defensive side of things. But what has been a really bright spot so far at the beginning of, you know, the first 20 games of the season is how we're able to defend down the stretch in clutch situations and situations where we need a stop or we need to create a turnover or we need to force a team into a tough mid-range two or a bad shot or a shot from somebody that isn't one of their primary scorers. I think those details are what we've done a great job of here in the close games that we've been able to pull out and win.
Matt, speaking of defensive prowess, my goodness, our friend Brook Lopez is playing out of his mind this year on defense, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, look, Brook continues to look father time in the face and say, not yet. The thing that is most remarkable about Brook to me is you just look at the course of his career. You know, he's, in my opinion, had two all-star careers. He was an all-star, obviously, in Brooklyn, and when he was playing in the post a little bit more and had all different types of moves. But now you look at him, and he's changed his game to be able to be a perimeter shooter but still protect the rim and do all the things that he did defensively. And it's truly impressive. He's a great guy to play with. He's somebody that covers up a lot of our mistakes as guards. We're able to push a lot of guys towards the rim, and he's able to have our backs and protect us. And he does it in such a matter-of-fact way. You know, he loves having his teammates' backs. He loves being a guy that can be counted on, and he does it in a very calm, cool, and casual way.
And, Pat, how rare is it? You mentioned that Brook has really been able to reinvent himself as an NBA player. That seems to be a rare phenomenon.
It is. I mean, look, it's something that the game is always changing. The game is always evolving. You know, there's more three-pointers being taken now. There's more shots at the rim. There's a little bit less done in the mid-range. And defensive strategies are really obviously elevating to try to adjust and deter those shots from being taken. And for Brook to be able to adjust with the times, come into a league, learn from guys like Kevin Garnett, who were mid-range assassins, and adjust to now be, like guys like Steph Curry, you can shoot the ball from deep. I think it's incredible to see what he's done, but it's a testament to the work that he puts in. It's a testament to, always trying to grow and evolve and be the best basketball player that he can be, no matter what, the game is evolving to.
Matt, speaking of evolving, you've grown and evolved over your years here, no question about it. What player, what teammate has had the most influence on your growth?
It's been a mixture of all of them, right? You know, Chris Middleton is a guy that I love to watch play because he really does a great job using his body. He's, not the quickest, the fastest, jump the highest, but he's so effective with the things that he does. He knows his game, and he does it to the nth degree, and I think he does a tremendous job of, staying within himself. But he also is such a well-rounded game, you know what I mean? He can make a mid-range jump shot. He can shoot the heck out of it from three. He can get to the rim at different times, and he's a great passer, underrated passer, I would say. You know, when Drew Holiday was here, I loved watching him play because of the way that, obviously, he played on both sides of the ball, but the little nuances that he was able to do, the little bump offs that created just a little bit of space for him to use the backboard when he was in the post, or the way he was able to get to his left hand and when he got close to the paint and throw up a little baby hook shot, or use the rim to protect from a defender and finish on the other side, and the way he was able to pass the ball as well and really make defensive strategies have to respect not just his ability to score but his ability to pass. And so I've really tried to learn from a bunch of different of my teammates. You know, Giannis obviously has been great because of the things that we do on the floor, whether it's me setting screen and rolls for him or whether he's setting some for me, hitting him with a late pass so he can finish at the rim, faking it to him so I can finish at the rim, or, flipping some screens so that he has a runway to the rim. There's just a lot of different things that, I've gotten comfortable with, but I've learned from guys across the last 6 years.
We'll have more with Pat Connaughton right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks guard Pat Connaughton.
Pat, the Bucks face a very big test on Tuesday night. It's the knockout round of the in-season tournament. We play the Knicks at home, and a win sends the team to Vegas for a shot at the trophy. Give our listeners, Pat, two or three keys to watch that would spell success against the Knicks.
Well, I think they got an old friend of ours, Dante DiVincenzo, who played here in the past. He's shooting the ball extremely well. I think he hit 7 threes in his last game. So trying to make sure, you know, guys who have played with him know his game, trying to make sure that he doesn't get any clean looks. I think they offensive rebound as well as anybody in the league. You know, Mitchell Robinson does one thing, but he does that one thing very well. He also protects the rim a little bit also. And then, you know, Jalen Brunson, I think, understanding how much the ball is in his hands and how much usage rate he has throughout the course of the game, and trying to make sure we're forcing him into tough shots would be the three main things that should put us in a great spot to win.
Pat, you're in the first year of a contract extension that will extend your career into a second decade of pro basketball. But I know, Pat, since you and I have talked many times, I know you've always planned for a life beyond the NBA. And a big part of that plan is a company called Three Leaf Partners. Tell us about the mission and the growth of Three Leaf.
Yeah, you know, our goal is to have an impact through real estate. That impact stretches across a wide variety of different areas. Obviously, you know, we have investors. We want to positively impact their returns. We work in a bunch of different communities. We want to positively impact those communities, not just from, you know, creating value with the property that we're building, but also, you know, adding different areas of value, whether it's things that are important to that community, whether it's working with the neighbors to make sure it's a building that they can be proud of. And then we also try to have an impact by working with nonprofits and philanthropic, you know, industries and corporations that are trying to do good in this world, right? So whether that's monetizing, you know, excess land that a 501c3 has access to, but, you know, doesn't have the ability to monetize, so they don't have the ability to necessarily impact as many lives through their mission. But if we're able to work with them, give them some ownership in that land, put it into a place that can create some income, all of a sudden their endowment grows, their ability to further their mission grows, and in turn, the world's kind of a better place. So we really look at real estate as the vehicle to positively impacting the communities, the partners that we work with. And it's been a lot of fun for me to continue to grow. You know, Wisconsin's been a great place to work and a great place to grow something like this. They're homers. They're very protective of those coming in. But once they know you're in it for the right reasons, once they know that your values and kind of align with theirs, it's a blue-collar city. It's a city that and a state that really protects their own. And so it's been awesome to be a part and become a part of this community. And they've really helped, you know, continue to help me grow my off-court endeavors.
Hey, Pat, have you figured out yet that Peter Fagan, the president of the Bucks, does not qualify as a 501c3?
Look, I think Peter Fagan actually does qualify as a 501c3. He needs all the help that he can get, and I try to make sure that I'm there, just as you do, to support him as he continues to make the city of Milwaukee a better place.
There you go, Pat. And I know that through your foundation, Pat, you've started something pretty unique called Connaughton Courts. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, look, the vehicle of basketball sport has done a lot for me in my life, obviously. I've been fortunate to make it to the highest level and win an NBA championship here. But the things that sport teach us, those translatable life skills, hard work, teamwork, leadership, accountability, discipline, I mean, there's a ton of them. That is what I think really helps those who partake in sports most, because most of us are not going to be able to play at the highest level. Most of us are not going to be able to, you know, play at the Division I level in college or whatever the case might be. But those habits that you build at a young age can really translate to other areas of your life, whether you want to be a firefighter, a police officer, a doctor, a physical therapist, work for a real estate development company, whatever the case is. Those little habits that you build by being a part of sport, by, you know, learning teamwork, by learning, you know, social skills, and working within a team towards one common goal. And so Connaughton Courts specifically is a part of my foundation, that it's a real tangible piece that our donors, that the community, that these next generation of student athletes see and can utilize 365 days a year. We want to work with, you know, community centers, not-for-profits, schools, especially those in underprivileged areas where, you know, they may not have a basketball court or they may not have one that's viable to utilize as much as they want. But the impact can be felt the second that court is finished, and they can start having, you know, AAU programs. They can have volunteer clubs. They can use it for educational purposes. They can use it for other sports and activities. And I think it's something that we've seen. We've done, you know, I think 7 of them to date. We got a few more in the pipeline, and we're starting to, you know, grow our application process so that hopefully we can do, you know, 24 more of them, right? And even more beyond that. But the impact that these courts have and the research that we've seen and the data behind how much better off a next generation student athlete, a youth student athlete is partaking in sports at a young age and what that can do for, you know, their lives and how it can help them achieve their dreams is staggering. So it's been really cool for me to be a part of, and something that, you know, hopefully we can continue to grow it, to have that impact on, you know, kids across the state of Wisconsin and the Midwest.
That's a great initiative, Pat. And finally, what message would you like to leave with Bucks fans everywhere?
You know, I would say, look, the Bucks fans are the best fans in the league. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but, you know, I grew up in Boston where they, you know, supposedly have great fans, but don't hold the candle to ours. I was playing in Portland where they have great fans, but not quite to the level of ours. And I think as we have started this season with some of the changes that Bucks fans haven't seen over the last 5 years, with new coaches, with new players, with new systems, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for us. There's going to be things that, you know, we believe we need to be better in, and I'm sure fans will think we need to be better in, but the support that they give us on a nightly basis doesn't go unnoticed. The support that they give us, whether we win or lose, understanding that we're doing our best to represent the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin to the best of our abilities. And most importantly, I think the knowledge that they have, or, you know, the little things that they see, whether it's Bobby pounding his chest, whether it's me diving on the floor, whether it's Giannis hunched over because of how much he's done in a 3-minute stretch. He's gone nonstop. He's gone baseline to baseline. He's blocked shots. He's dunked. Hopefully they just see, you know, we'll try to leave it out there on the court on a nightly basis to best represent them and leave them with something that they can be proud of. And we're proud to represent them, but we're very thankful for the support that they give us on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
And Pat, best of luck to you as the season unfolds. Always fun to visit with you. Thanks so much for your time. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.